And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon, I am thrilled to say, is Alan Dudon. Alan is an attorney from St. Martinville originally, but he is also a screenwriter and has just won an incredibly prestigious award and fellowship. Through the Academy Awards, the Nickel Fellowship is offered. Five people are chosen this year out of over 7,000 entries. And Alan, you are one of those five. Incredible, the first from Louisiana to win this award. We're just so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. It's just been quite a thrill. I keep waiting for the alarm to go off and I'm going to wake up and it's not
true. And that was a dream.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I can promise you we're not a dream here at KRVS, and you really did win that. You received the award last week, I believe.
Yes.
And where did the ceremony take place?
At the Beverly Wilshire Hotel in Beverly Hills.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences makes a lot of money off the Oscars telecast. So when they do things, they don't do it at McDonald's. I mean, not that I got anything against McDonald's, but I mean, they really, really go top shelf with everything. It was just a really fantastic experience.
So this is a fellowship, and you're given some money, as a fellowship would, and you're supposed to complete your film?
No. The only requirement for the fellowship mm-hmm. is... over the next 12 months, I have to complete another screenplay. Now, while I was in Los Angeles, I met with some film companies and agents and managers, and I got hired to write another screenplay to adapt a novel to a screenplay. So I'm going to be doing that first. But then when I finish with that, then I have a year to get another start from scratch screenplay that I'm not getting paid to write. To complete my fellowship requirements.
Well, hopefully in another few years we'll have you back because you're winning an Oscar for those screenplays.
Well, that would be really nice.
Well, let's talk about this script that you won the fellowship for, the Nickel Fellowship, and also your interest in films. Now, the script was called Willie Francis Must Die Again.
Correct.
Some of our listeners know a bit about that story. We did interview Gilbert King a few years ago when his novel came out. You're from St. Martinville, which is where the story happened.
Right.
And your great uncle was actually the young attorney involved in that story.
Willie Francis was an innocent 16-year-old African-American kid from St. Martinville who was convicted of a murder that he had nothing to do with and sent to the electric chair in 1946 and again in 1947 because the first time, well, they tried twice the first day and it just didn't work. Not only didn't work, it didn't hurt him. And at that point, the court-appointed attorneys who had been appointed to represent him had done nothing at the trial. They waived open an argument, called no witnesses, cross-examined no witnesses, waived closing argument, and surprise, surprise, he was convicted. After the first unsuccessful execution, Willie's father, who at the time was 70, and Willie was the youngest of 13 children, he came to my great-uncle Bertrand DeBlanc and begged him to try to stop the second execution. And that's when my uncle Bertrand got involved and took it to the U.S. Supreme Court.
How did you get interested in the story? You now have all of your great-uncle's papers, but when did you first begin thinking about this story in terms of something you could create and let people know more about?
Well, show you how bright I am. I had made a documentary for public television through the public television station in Houston on the Texas Rangers. And I wanted to make another one, but I wanted to work through LPB in Baton Rouge. I was unsuccessful in getting LPB to get involved in the first one. So I watched LPB a lot and saw that every time they had a fundraiser, that Gus Weil was one of the people that was always there. And he was a brother of a client of mine from Lafayette. So I went to see him, or I happened to go see him on business. And I said, why don't you and I do a documentary together? Because you got plenty of connections at LPB, and I can just drive to Baton Rouge instead of having to drive to Houston. And he said, well, what story do you want to do? I said, I don't know. I hadn't thought of one. And he said, well, you're from St. Martinville. The best story that's never been told is from St. Martinville. And I said, what's that? And he said, Willie Francis. And it clicked. I wouldn't have thought of it on my own, because just being from St. Martinville, it's kind of like the Evangeline Oak. It's just always there.
And happened back in the late 40s.
Happened in the late 40s. Mm-hmm. And I just never would have thought of it. But when he mentioned it, he gave me some information he had, because he was going to write a play about it. Gus Weil had 5 plays that he wrote produced on Broadway. Not off Broadway, on Broadway. And he always wanted to do Willie Francis. When he gave me the information, you know, I knew the basic story, which was Willie's put in the electric chair and he doesn't die. But there were so many more fascinating twists and turns and really fascinating aspects of it that once I read it, I knew it was one of those skies parting moments, mm-hmm. because I knew I was never, ever going to get my hands on a story that good again. And if I didn't do that, then I had no business fooling with films, because mm-hmm. you just can't pass up stories that are that good. Right. So that's when I went pitch it to, never could get an answer from LPB. So again, I made it through KUHT mm-hmm. in Houston. Mm-hmm.
And they accepted.
Oh, yeah. They thought it was great. And mm-hmm. And then I took it to, I got invited to about 12 film festivals, won 4 of them, and thought that was going to develop the story into a feature film, and had written a script about it, but it didn't work. Nobody came beg me for the script. Mm-hmm. So then I started entering the script and screenplay contests, and as a matter of fact, entered it in the Nickel, in the Academy competition 2 years ago, made it to the semifinals, the top 100, but didn't make it to the finals. So then I got back in there and tweaked it and changed it around a little bit, because mm-hmm. you never want to let the facts stand in the way of a good story.
Well, that's an interesting thing that you say right there, because I think people have a somewhat understanding of how you create a script for a narrative film, a fiction film, but this is for a documentary. And how do you go about writing a screenplay for that? How did you create your script from that?
Well, if you're doing it with a true story, you have to decide whether it's going to be based on a true story, mm-hmm, which means mm-hmm. you take one element of it and make up all the rest,
right.
Or if you're really going to make the whole story. And as a result of some discussions I had with my great uncle Bertrand late in life, when I could get him to talk about it, which he was very reluctant to talk about it, and of the information I developed, I realized that probably the best thing to do was let the real story be the story and just make up what I needed to do to get from
the transition,
to connect the dots.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tell people who may just be tuning in that my guest is Alan Duron, an attorney from St. Martinville, who has just won a very prestigious fellowship, the Nickel Fellowship from the Academy Awards. They awarded only 5 out of over 7,000 applicants. So pretty, pretty amazing from this script about Willie Francis, a story from St. Martinville. Tell us how you got, let's just kind of go back, and because you're talking about here some determination. I think people are already seeing, your patience and interest and determination to be involved in films, in writing for films. When did you first get interested in films and knew that you might want to write for them?
I don't know. I don't have any memory of never being interested in films, and always wanted to do it. And of course, growing up in the 50s and 60s in St. Martinville, if I'd have gone and tell my daddy I want to be involved in film, I would have gone and tell my daddy I think I'm gay, I mean, the reaction would have been the same. I mean, not gay, nothing matter being gay, but, you just something you didn't do.
Films was something that happened far away,
people
not connected to here.
Well, weird people not connected to here. And but then I in the 70s, I had an idea for something, wrote a novel manuscript, converted it to a screenplay, met Glenn Petrie. He told me, you can't afford to do it. you can afford to make a short. And so we made a short. Then we started working on Bel Air. And then after Bel Air, I started making documentaries, and I'm on my third one now, which is where you and I met, because we were doing filming in your studio.
So that was a really happy meeting between you and Glenn. And even though you'd always been interested in film, the world of those filmmakers you really hadn't encountered yet.
Well, I hadn't encountered it. I didn't know where to look for it. Mm-hmm, and I had just moved back to Lafayette from New Orleans in 1981, and I opened the Daily Advertiser, and there's an article about a Harvard-educated 25-year-old filmmaker from La Rose Cutoff who had just made a film that broke the box office record at the Jet Theater in Galliano, which sounded like a big deal to me. So I got on the phone and I called information for La Rose, and there was no Glenn Petrie listed. And my wife said, well, don't be stupid. He's a big filmmaker. He's not going to have a listed
call
number.
Call Hollywood.
So But it had his parents' name, so I called his father's house, his mother answered, and I said, do you know where Glenn is? You don't know me. I'm a lawyer from Lafayette. She said, well, sure, he's right there. The reason was he had still lived at home. That's why he didn't have to live. So I said, Glenn, I want to make a film, but I have some questions like, where do I get a camera? What do I do with the camera? And it's just sort of some basic things. And he was very gracious and answered my questions, and he said, I got this script called Bel Air's Waltz. I need a lawyer to help me draft the documents to go out and raise money. And I said, have I got a deal for you? And we started working together on Bel Air. Then that's where it started.
Okay, now we got to back up just a bit because they just started working on Bel Air. That's become an icon of Louisiana filmmaking, Bel Air. So you helped him a bit with some of the legal issues, but then you became involved in a different way. You wrote some of Bel Air.
I produced it.
Well,
I produced it because when we were selected to go to Sundance, they sent Glenn three bio sheets, one for the writer, one for the director, and one for the producer. And he was all three at that point. So what he did is he said that looked kind of funky. So I put you as the producer, and I sort of made up some stuff. And I said, well, don't worry about it. What's the chances of us getting picked out of 500? And we got picked, and I ended up going to Sundance, and I figured I'd last about a day. Then they'd say, he doesn't know anything about films, and they'd send me home. Nobody figured it out. Next thing I know, we're at the Cannes Film Festival. We're an official selection, and
discovered you had a talent for it.
Jury's still out on whether I have a talent for it.
So, Bel Air, you helped to produce that. You helped to write it. Tell us about that part you helped to write. That's a really fascinating little part of the film.
Well, the original script, which got changed a week before because Armand DeSante said, change it or I'm not coming. And Armand, we still love you if you're out there, ended up... The climax was Bel Air is in jail, unjustly accused for murder, and negotiates his way out with the sheriff. And I just knew, like, my favorite film is Casablanca, and, you know, one of the first lines is Casablanca is round up the usual suspects. And that's why it plays so well at the end. So I knew you had to foreshadow it. So I came up with the idea of Bel Air. The film starts with Bel Air in confessional, and the priest gives him five rosaries as a penance, and he says, Father, I've never had to say one rosary, and much less five. And he starts negotiating, and the negotiation ends up out in the back of the church, and where Bel Air trades some medicine for a reduction, and that ended up staying in the script. And I said, "Boy, I like this writing part too," and started. And I've probably done seven or eight screenplays at this point.
Yeah, I think everyone remembers that scene. It's very clever, and it says so much about the character of people here. You really got that in that writing. So you got bitten by that bug, writing. And what after Bel Air, what did you start doing? How did you continue in film at that point?
I thought Bel Air was the one time that lightning was going to strike me, mm-hmm. and I wasn't ever going to get a chance to do it again. And Glenn was doing it full time. I was married, had two children.
And had your own profession.
Yeah, I had a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I just was a partner in a law firm we had just started here. And so I just assumed that was it for me. But after about 6, 7, 8 years, I just start. It's like a kind of like a heroin addict. You just start scratching, and you need a fix. You got to do it. And then I decided I'd try to make a documentary and talk to the public television station in Houston and let me do one as a co-production with them. And then did Willie Francis Must Die Again, and now I'm in the middle of my third.
What was the subject of that first documentary?
The Texas Rangers.
The Texas Rangers. And how did you develop that story? How did you gain an interest? Being from Louisiana, how did you gain an interest?
I'm a closet Texan.
Okay.
And had spent a lot of time there in the service. When I got out of the service, I went back to school, got a master's in tax at SMU Law School. So I lived there for a couple of years, and I just thought Texas was a great place. And did some reading about the Rangers. And I have a real fetish for true stories because they're much better than what you can make up. And one of the screenplays I wrote is about Frank Hamer, the most famous Texas Ranger of the 20th century, who he's came out of retirement to hunt down and kill Bonnie and Clyde and then went back into retirement. And in 1940, he's watching a movie in Dallas, and the newsreel comes on, and the Germans are getting ready to invade England. And Frank just didn't think that was right. So he writes to the King of England and says,
the Texas Rangers are coming.
No, I'm coming. If you want, I'll come, and I'll protect you from the German army. And the king calls and says, please hurry. But do you think you're enough? And he says, of course I'm not enough. He says, I got about 20 other retired buddies I'm bringing with me. We're going to be plenty enough. And, I mean, when I read about the King of England calling back and saying, please hurry, I said, oh,
there's a story.
I got to tell a story.
So you put that in the documentary.
No. That's in the documentary.
That's in the documentary.
But it's also wrote a screenplay based on that.
Again, if you are just tuning in, my guest is Alan Duron. He is a screenwriter and has just won one of the prestigious Nickel Fellowships, which is offered through the Academy Awards. They chose five people out of over 7,000 applicants, and Alan won for his script, Willie Francis Must Die Again.
It's an award, and it's from the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts
and
Science. So I'm calling it an Academy Award.
Well, it says the Academy Awards right here on the press release.
That's what
it is. It is an award.
But it's not an Oscar, but it's the next best thing.
Absolutely. And again, one of five out of 7,100 applicants, and the first from Louisiana in the 27 years that they've offered this fellowship.
Correct. That's correct.
Absolutely. So tell us about this script. You mentioned that it's a true story from St. Martinville. I think people are fascinated about how do you go about creating, what do you choose? You said you went with the story, but how do you start building that script to make a full length?
Well, I thought that, you got to start thinking about the mechanics of making a film and the mechanics of keeping the audience in the seats. And so I start the film 5 minutes before the first unsuccessful execution. And the first thing is that first unsuccessful execution. And because if I don't have the audience after that, I'm not going to get them later on. And so I started with that and then told the story. It's actually two parallel stories because Bertrand is just back from World War II, has a couple of kids, maybe three kids, and is trying to restart his practice, and struggling. And so he takes this case where his total fee is 2 pounds of sweet potatoes. And, this doesn't do much for his practice. But he sticks with it. And the way I developed the screenplay is Willie's father had 13 kids, made $9 a week working in the sugarcane fields. So he's poorer than dirt. And he sees that Bertrand's just getting worn down by the realities of having to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And so in the movie version, Bertrand DeBlanc Willie's father, Fred Francis, has to use his wit and intelligence and just his wiles to keep Bertrand going. Because if without Bertrand, we know for sure Willie's not going to make it. Now, so that's, and Willie's fighting I talked to a lot of old people in St. Martinville who were young at that time but remember it. And Judge Guidry, one of my great friends and mentors, said that, he doesn't think you know, that there was a big emotional push in St. Martinville for a second execution. Mm-hmm. But that was the machinery of the state. If you got convicted of a first-degree murder, death sentence was automatic. Mm-hmm. There was no jury deciding whether you got death penalty or not. So, you know, that it was, but just the, it was just sort of the automaticness of it just kept grinding on.
Right.
Now, while this is going on, when it gets to the Supreme Court, the first vote in the Supreme Court, because we have the notes of the justices, was 6-3 in favor of allowing a second execution. And then, unknown to me until I got into this research, they trade votes in the Supreme Court like they trade votes in the House, in the Senate, and in the City Council and everywhere else. So after about 3 weeks, all of a sudden there's only two in favor of a second execution, and there's seven either against or not quite sure. So then the Chief Justice has to jump in and start trading votes back. So it ends up a 4-4 deadlock with one of the great Felix Frankfurter casting the deciding vote. And he cast the deciding vote in favor of allowing a second execution. Mm-hmm. And then goes to work behind the scenes to try to get it commuted to life in prison. Only time in the history of the U.S. Supreme Court that's ever happened. So you had a lot of really interesting things going on there.
Amazingly complex from this story out of St. Martinville. And that's all in your script.
All in the script.
Well, you know, I'm sure some people listening to us right now are wondering if there's a place they can go to find out more about your work. Do you have a website? How do people see some of the documentary work?
I'm kind of a technological dinosaur.
Now that you've won this award, I don't know, things are going to change, Alan.
They've changed a lot already.
Tell us about the award ceremony and what happened the day after. Just describe the award ceremony.
Well, the award ceremony was a really fantastic event. It was about 250 or 300 Academy members in the ballroom of the Beverly Wilshire Hotel in Los Angeles, in Beverly Hills. Those of you who have seen the movie Pretty Woman, that's the hotel. And Gail Ann Hurd, the producer of Terminator, Aliens, Armageddon, she's the chairman of the committee, and she starts it off. And then we had a guest speaker, and then each one of the five Nickel Fellowship winners had a different presenter. And my presenter was Bob Shapiro, the former president of Warner Brothers, who said some very kind things about me. Not all accurate, but really kind. And then I got to get up and make a little acceptance speech. And like I told you before I went on the air, I started off by saying I want to thank the members of the Academy. And then I stopped and I told the audience, I said, boy, it's really nice to say that, not staring into your bathroom mirror for a change.
Now, you mentioned a couple of these people. These people are on the committee, this committee that chose these scripts.
Yeah.
Again, describe some of the people who are on this committee choosing your script.
Well, Gail Ann Hurd's the chairman. Bob Shapiro, the former chairman of president of Warner Brothers, is on it. Dan Petrie, P-E-T-R-I-E. The president of the Writers Guild, who wrote a little movie once called Beverly Hills Cop, and a lot of other ones. Tom Rickman, who I think was involved in, he wrote Black Beauty, he wrote a lot of big scripts. And then there's a lot of other former head of the William Morris Agency, former heads of other studios, other producers. It's an all-star cast.
And these are all of the people who are reading the scripts and making the decisions on who wins.
Yeah, they're the ones that make the pick. Them, and when they cut it from 100 down to 10, the committee reads, every member of the committee reads all of the 10 final scripts to pick the five fellowship winners. But when they cut it down from 100 to 10, I didn't know it till that night, but Ms. Hurd said that that's done by a committee of about 35 screenwriters, all of whom have either won or been nominated for the Oscar for Best Screenplay. And if I had known that, I never would have tried it. I would have said, those people are going to,
Sometimes ignorance is best.
Oh, yeah. In my case, it's a pretty continuous situation.
Well, again, I have to tell people, my guest, Alan Durand, has just won a Nickel Fellowship through the Academy. It's the Academy Awards, it is.
Yeah.
One of five out of over 7,000 scripts that were read, looked at, and they chose five. And yours, Willie Francis Must Die Again, was chosen. So what happened after that?
Well, what happened is when they announced the fellowship winners the week before, my email exploded. And all of a sudden, there was 20 agents, 20 managers, 20 production companies all wanting to see the script. And do I have time to meet with them when I'm out there? It's like being an ugly duckling, and you wake up one day and you're Brad Pitt or something, and all of a sudden everybody's smiling at you.
Well,
it's hard to describe because it's such a fantastic experience.
Well, what an honor and tribute to you for your work over the years and determination, and an honor for Louisiana as well. Again, the first script to win from Louisiana.
Yeah. Well, remember all you parents out there listening to this, if this not really bright guy from St. Martinville who didn't start in this business till he was 35 can do this, tell your kids there's no reason they can't do whatever they want to do either.
Follow your dream, but expect it to take a little time.
Yeah, you keep putting one foot in front of the other, and if you don't quit, maybe you'll get there. If you do quit, you won't get there, so you just gonna keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Well, you're a living testament to that. And we're just about out of time. But even though you don't have a website now, I'm sure someone's going to get you to put one up and we'll be able to find out more about your work. And we hope to hear soon about what's going to happen with all of those people emailing you and wanting to produce your work.
Yeah, well, I don't have any grandchildren, but I'm going to rent somebody's grandchild and get them to do a website for me. So I can put them up.
Again, my guest, Alan Durand, from St. Martinville, a practicing attorney and a screenwriter. His script won the prestigious Nickel Fellowship this year, one of five, for Willie Francis Must Die Again. Thank you so much for taking the time to come by.
My pleasure.